as working in Portugal as wonderful as living in Portugal. Roll that intro. Hello there, I'm Rafael Di Furia, back at it again for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. This week, I want to talk a little bit about the balance between living and working, but leaning a little bit more towards work and not going to be giving any type of legal or financial advice, any tax advice. So if you are looking for that, I would advise seeking out the services of somebody who is a professional in that area. Like I mentioned in my video about why I didn't go for the NHR and why I decided to actually put a company together here in Portugal instead, there are going to be things that are right for some people and right for others people. And there are going to be various factors and various details that are just going to really depend on your own individual situation, especially when it comes to things like taxes. Because while it is possible to live in Portugal on a lower monthly income than it may be in other places in the world, you still do need enough to get by. And we've been seeing in the country that things have been increasing in price. Like if we're looking at rent, especially, all over the country, but especially in the cities, even places like Lisbon. I mean, we're talking about places even just for a single room on their own. I've heard about rents going up as high as like say 1500 or more. So we're not talking about like small amounts here, and we're not talking about as low cost as things used to be. That's going to depend, of course, also where you are in the country. If you're looking out in the countryside or in a smaller town or in a village, something like that, things are going to be a bit easier financially speaking, but then you will be giving up certain things as well. And that's just something to take into consideration when you're looking at this lifestyle in this country. Back in 2022, the minimum income here in Portugal was 705 euros. There's ways that a person could get bonuses on top of that and get paid back for transportation and various things like that. But the Portuguese government has approved that in 2024, it's supposed to go up to 810 euros. And then in 2026, it's supposed to go up to 900 euros. So that's going to be something to take into consideration about what kind of the basic kind of lifestyle could look like here. There are going to be places like say here in Braga, where maybe a few years ago, an apartment that would have been 600 is now 800 or 1,000 euros per month, or an apartment that you would have bought maybe in 2019 that would have gone for say 90,000 could be 180,000 or more now, depending on conditions and all of that. But even just for an individual room here alone in Braga, I've heard of prices being up to say like 500-600 euros, when it should really only be maybe say 250 to 350 or 400 really on the high side, but prices are going up. Let's see what's going to happen over the next couple of years. So this is something that you need to take into consideration. If you are looking for work in this country, what are going to be your monthly expenses? I mean, I'm going to try to avoid talking about some specific numbers here. I've already talked about some because in a year from now, those numbers may be completely irrelevant. And so I'm not going to talk about like things like the cost of your bills, monthly bills or so on, because it's going to depend from apartment to apartment, individual to individual, if you're with family or this or that or the other. There's going to be all different ways that this can end up coming together at the end of the day. And so if you are looking for a job here, the kind of average income that a lot of people could expect to see might be between, say, like 1,200 and 1,500 euros per month. But it's, like I said, the minimum income is much less than that. And it's also possible to earn significantly more, but it depends on what you're doing, what kind of work. So that's why also I generally recommend for younger people who are kind of getting started out in life that Southern Europe in general, Portugal, Spain, Italy, Greece, that some of these countries may not necessarily be the best place to get started in life, but I will say there's a caveat to that now in 2023, that with how many jobs that you have been going online and have been going remote, it kind of takes a little piece of the equation out of the way. Even I'll say that I've been doing research around the world, kind of what certain jobs pay and this and that. And I can say that I've seen like certain jobs in my field that pay the same in a place like the Philippines as they might here in Portugal, if not kind of slightly less, depending on taxes and some of those other various factors that come into play. So another factor to consider is what type of work are you doing? Is it the type of job that can be done remotely, or is it a physical job that requires you to be on site? If it is something where you have the ability to work online, then that's something to really take into consideration, how you can make it work for you and how you're going to be set up with your taxes and how you're going to be set up with everything. Because if you are set up with a company here in Portugal, then you have to take into consideration just the system here. Or if you're going to be basing your company, say in the US, like in Tennessee or somewhere that offers like really great options for companies to be built, then you have to think about how are you getting your money from that country to this country, and then how you're going to be taxed on that here, or if you're going to be taxed, because is it going to be income? Is it going to be dividends? Is it going to be, how is it all set up? That's going to really change what your finances will look like at not only the end of the month, but the end of the year. So there will be certain situations where I would say for certain people who are thinking about moving here, that if they are not wanting to necessarily work for a Portuguese company and they have the ability to work as a freelancer on their own through quote unquote their own business, even if they're maybe working for just one business in another country, working directly from Portugal has benefits, but it also has downsides. If you are the type of person that has, say, a lot of expenses, as I've spoken about before, opening up a company can really be advantageous to think about. But if you're somebody who doesn't have a lot of expenses at the end of the month, having green receipts will possibly be worthwhile considering. There are aspects of both that are positive and negative. There are going to be things that could be better for one person and not so great for another. For my personal situation, like I've said, I made that episode talking about why I decided to open up a company instead of even going for NHR, because even though I have a company, I actually found out that I could have signed up for NHR, but with the way that my business is set up, doing NHR for me actually made no sense. I'd be paying more in taxes than what I am now, just on kind of like the regular regime here. So there are going to be certain situations, I would say, even for people who are retirees and people who are just earning their pension coming from another country. And yes, also that's a big factor to take into consideration. Pensions can be taxed here in Portugal. And so even for certain people who are earning their pension, there are going to be instances, maybe not many, where just being on the regular regime will make more sense for you at the end of the day. But of course, the biggest consideration to take into account, which kind of gets into your lifestyle here, is how far is what you earn going to go at the end of the month? We've talked about that a little bit so far, but also think about things like how much is going to be to eat out, how much is going to be eat out in Braga versus Porto versus Lisbon versus Albufeira versus Setúbal or any other place in the country. These are going to be little things. Are you the type of person that does go out a lot? Are you the type of person that likes to just stay at home and just enjoy what you have there? Do you buy a lot of electronics? Do you buy a lot of clothing? Do you buy a lot of this or makeup or whatever it may be? These are all factors that you're really only going to get a feel of once you're already here. I mean, even if you take a scouting trip, for example, you're still kind of in vacation mode to an extent, and you're not going to get the full feel of what it's like here day to day. Of course, I would say from that perspective, being in like an Airbnb, even though I'm not the biggest fan of Airbnb, and as time goes on, even less and less so, and I have, of course, some of you guys know my opinions on how Airbnbs have affected and negatively affected a lot of different places around the world. But the one thing is that if you look at a place like an Airbnb, I'm not saying specifically that you should use Airbnb, there will be these other factors that will help you to decide whether you're going to the supermarket every day, you're cooking for yourself, or even if you are going out every night, you're going in drinking, you're going in this and you're going in that. It'll help you to have that realistic idea when you are, even actually there's this little children's train that's passing behind me right now. Do you have children and do you have those little expenses for the fun activities that they will be doing throughout the year or even on a weekend, like jumping on one of these things? Okay, that could be like a couple of euros and not too expensive to do, especially in comparison to some other places, but of course they add up. So taking that time to even come here, I really would recommend, especially now with apartments across the country, finding that place where you can live is becoming more and more and more difficult. I hear from so many people that they're having an impossible time to find a room or an apartment. I mean, even some of you guys know that I've mentioned in previous episodes that I actually took care of everything completely remotely, quasi sight unseen, and I did my walkthrough through a WhatsApp call. And that was because at the time I wanted something that I could just land into, but I kind of already knew how certain things worked here. I knew what to keep my eyes open for. And even I will say, like, if you do look at a website like Idealista or even Facebook Marketplace or even Facebook groups, you do have to be a bit careful and know what to look for and also know how flexible some of those prices are, because this is becoming less and less so, but a lot of rentals that you will see are negotiable. It's not just the purchasing of a property that's possible to negotiate. As time goes on, like I said, it's becoming more and more difficult to do that, but you will find that it can be possible to do. But how much will be possible to actually negotiate, that's going to depend. But there are plenty of landlords now that just aren't willing to negotiate at all. But if you have figured out that balance of how much things are going to cost you and what things are going to look like with your work, it is possible to live a very comfortable lifestyle here without paying huge amounts of money. It is possible on a lower income if you are in a shared apartment to be able to go out and eat dinner if you want every night. You will find certain traditional types of food that will allow you to be able to eat out quite often. I'm not going to say that the average Portuguese person would do that, or even if you are here, that you even should eat out every night. There are going to be places that are extremely expensive, but still lower cost than what you might find back in the States, like an aged dry beef. I've heard of a place here in Braga that for, I don't know, two people, you might spend like, say, 90 euros, 150 euros, but then there are going to be places where you can get a great steak for 10 euros, or even if it's lunchtime, you can get the lunch deal, which is common across the country, for anywhere between, say, 7 and 10 euros, and that could be a multi-course meal, or even include rice and potatoes and salad. So you could be getting a full meal for a very reasonable cost, and it is common that even when you do have a job in this country, that you will be given at least some amount of money for food. Depending on the type of job, it could be more, it could be less. You might just get like the basic minimum per day for your ability to purchase food, and that could be used potentially either in a supermarket or whatever. I mean, and you might just be given that within your total paycheck at the end of the month, or actually not paycheck, because checks aren't really used here, but your monthly bank transfer that you'll receive. So even having a bank account here will be very important. But getting a bank account here, I will say, is one thing. This is maybe the most annoying country that I've been in for banking, just at least to open up the account, because as I've mentioned before, also, you're not opening up a bank account, you're applying for a bank account. It's a different approach, and there's a process. It could take a week, it could take a few hours depending on the bank, but there's maybe only one bank that I can think of where maybe it could take less than a couple of hours to be able to open up the bank from signing on the dotted line to them saying, hey, you've got an account with us, unless you're selected for a random check. But again, kind of talking about even being able to go out and being able to enjoy things, being able to go for a coffee. I mean, there are going to be places where you'll find a coffee for maybe say 80 cents, 70 cents, 60 cents, but then there's going to be other places like you might find for say a euro 50, 2 euros, and that's already spending too much in my opinion. I don't drink coffee anymore. But then also when you're looking even at say like having a pastry, it might be just about a euro or so, or it might be a little more. It might be a euro 50. Or if you're going to like a really high-end place, it could be 3.50, 4.50, 5.50, 8 euros, depending on where you're going. There's a wide range of what you can find here and what is available. So not everything is going to be quote unquote cheap, as many people like to represent it online, but there are going to be a lot of things that are lower cost, definitely. Whether it's right for you or not, though, that's going to be something that you'll have to figure out. And I wish you lots of luck. Of course, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. And also, especially a huge thank you to those of you who help to make episodes possible like this through the monthly support on Patreon or through the one-time donations, like the thanks button here on YouTube. But of course, as always, I'm Rafael Di Furia. Stay safe and healthy. And I'll see you all next time for another episode of Not Your Average Globetrotter. Later.